Back to the Bible.
Edmund Fabian's death caused me to experience a genuine psychological paradox. On the one hand, I was certain that Scripture precluded the possibility of Christian demonization, but on the other, I had absolutely no doubt that Arnold's account of Edmund's death at the hands of a demon-possessed Christian was carefully researched and credible. In the end, it was this emotional tension that drove me to take a closer look at both Scripture and the story. As I dove back into the Bible, I was comforted to discover that Christ himself precludes the possibility that a Christian could be inhabited by demons. Using the illustration of a house, Jesus asks, "How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man?" Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil. In a spirit-indwelt believer, however, the strong man is God. The force of Christ's argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, namely, God himself. Jesus provides a corollary argument by pointing out that when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, "I will return to the house I left." When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. The point here is pristine and precise. If we are unoccupied by the Holy Spirit, we subject ourselves to the possibility of being inhabited by demons. If, on the other hand, our house is Christ's home, the devil finds no place in us. Furthermore, I discovered an equally airtight argument against Christian demonization in the Gospel of John. The Jews were once again accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed. Rather than circumvent their accusations, Jesus condescends to reach out to his accusers with reason. The essence of his argument is, "I'm not possessed by a demon because I honor my Father." Once again, the point is impossible to miss. Being demon-possessed and honoring God are mutually exclusive categories. Finally, as I poured through the pages of Scripture, not a single credible example of a demonized believer emerged. Instead, the consistent teaching of Scripture is that Christians cannot be controlled against their wills through demonic inhabitation. The principle is foolproof. If you are a follower of Christ, the King himself indwells you, and you can rest assured that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Searching the Scriptures more than satisfied me intellectually. If Christ communicates that honoring God and being demon-possessed are mutually exclusive categories, and if the Bible does not contain a single credible example of a demonized Christian, the matter was settled in my head. In my heart, however, I still struggled with the emotional impact of Edmund Fabian's brutal murder.